We're looking forward to playing against maybe the best defensive team in the country.
And it's intercepted, and the Dogs snuff out another Auburn drive.
Alabama offense in general is just very strong, very powerful.
Najee Harris going to the end zone for the fifth time tonight.
Just when you thought the matchup didn't need any more drama, it might have gotten it. All eyes going to be on Alabama versus Georgia this weekend. We got a lot to get into, though. There's that and other games. It's College Football Live. Jim Moore, Desmond Howard, I'm Jason Fitz. And again, the big news everybody's paying attention to with the big matchup this weekend is what's going to happen with Coach Nick Saban. Will he be able to be on the sideline? Remember, he has tested positive for COVID-19, but that's just the beginning of what we've got to figure out as we try and figure out what it's going to be look like on the sideline for Alabama this weekend. Let's get the latest on the situation with Nick Saban. We're joined now by our very own Tom Rinaldi. Tom, what would it take at this point for Coach Saban to be on the sidelines for Saturday's game?
Well, Fitz, there is a clear path that's been laid out by SEC and NCAA protocols for that to happen. And essentially, since testing positive on Wednesday, Nick Saban has been undergoing further testing Thursday morning, Friday morning this day, and if those come back as negative, then Saturday morning. Three consecutive tests over three consecutive days would clear him for the ability to come back and be with his team come Saturday night. If the first 2 days of testing come back negative, Fitz, that would put obviously a lot of pressure on that third test to come back in time. The testing has typically come back in the early afternoon from a lab in Mobile. And if it turns out to be three consecutive negatives, then that would be enough evidence by protocol to suggest a false positive on Wednesday, and Saban would be with the team. Also importantly, Fitz, he's remained asymptomatic by his own description and by, from what a team source told me on this day, has gone through this part of the day on Friday, still showing no symptoms. That's also important.
So what kind of communication has he been able to have with Sarkisian at this point to prepare for the game?
Well, let's just put it this way. From a couple of sources who would know, Nick Saban is deeply involved. His voice is echoing both in the house and through the football facility to nobody's surprise. He's in constant communication following the routine that he normally would. He did everything that he would have done Thursday. He's continuing to do that Friday, trying to make it as routine-based, as process-oriented, of course it's Nick Saban, as would be expected. When the team went through practice the past couple of days, he was patched in on a Zoom feed. He had a cell phone hookup to an assistant. If he needed a drill done again, he said, run it again, which anyone who's been at an Alabama practice hears plenty. I know you've heard it too, Fitz. So he is as involved as it gets. If he's not able to be here, Steve Sarkisian will assume the head coaching duties while also maintaining the play calling duties as the offensive coordinator. But right now, Nick Saban does have a path to return to the sideline. It's just predicated on those test results lining up the right way.
As always, my friend, stay safe, stay healthy. Most importantly, we appreciate your expertise. Thanks for joining us.
We won't disappoint you. It's been us in Alabama the last few years.
It's a tremendous opportunity facing the top team in the country.
Win or go home, really, that's what it feels like.
Meaning lies within you.
Najee Harris going to the end zone.
He's extremely talented, physical. He runs with a purpose.
He can do it all. He can run routes. He can make you miss. He can run over you.
I know it's what we've all been waiting for.
Here comes pressure. We got to get it. And the Dogs snuff out another.
Discipline. And you see a lot of discipline from their players, and they play well together as a group.
Mack has it. Throws. Touchdown, Alabama. How about that?
People don't include him in the mix. They always talk about the wide receivers or the running backs. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC.
They're going to bring their A game. We're going to bring ours, and may the best man win.
Guys, it's important to note a little context I got from Tom Rinaldi before the show. Players were tested Thursday morning. As usual, as of so far, there doesn't seem to be any indication of an outbreak or spread of COVID-19 that will impact the players. That's important to note for everybody. So, I got a coach. I got to ask him about a coach. So, Coach Jim Moore, when you're talking about Sark being on the sidelines, he's been a coach before. What impact does that have on this game?
Well, I think that this is significant. I think it maybe is more significant than if other coaches around the country were not able to be on the sidelines during the game, because Nick has such a huge presence, and his demeanor is reflected in the way that his players play on the field on Saturdays. Now, he's been with them all week virtually, so he's been able to talk to them. He's been able to manage practice, things like that. But just not having him on the sidelines and that toughness and that demeanor that he exudes, I think, is significant. Then the other thing that concerns me is Sark's a great play caller, and he's been a head coach, so he's managed games before, but he's been able to really focus in just on one thing, and that's calling plays. Now he's going to have to manage a game. He's going to have to make sure that he's making the right decisions on fourth down. He's going to have to make the right decisions whether to kick a field goal or go for it, whether to go for two or kick the extra point. He might have to manage some chaos on the sidelines. He might have to help the defense a little bit. So his plate becomes a little more full. And as I said, he's done it before, but he hasn't done it recently. And he's been such a great play caller. I just hope those other things don't take away from his ability to really focus in on keeping that great Alabama offense going.
Yeah, Coach, you make some excellent points. And we can go back and forth and have a discussion about this for the whole show, about the effect of Nick Saban not being on the sideline, what it will have on the Crimson Tide. But personally, I like to be one who says that I do believe that he is going to coach tomorrow. We just heard the clear path that Tom Rinaldi laid out for everybody. I believe he's going to be on the sideline. But if he isn't, from a player standpoint, Coach, you have to understand that, you know, we're used to hearing that coach's voice all the time. His players are used to hearing Nick Saban in pregames. Who's going to give the pregame speech? He's that voice of confidence, of reassurance, especially at halftime. Now, Nick Saban isn't the type of coach who's going to go in there at halftime and scream and holler and do all of that. He's going to be a guy who's going to say, hey, guys, this is where we are. These are the mistakes that we made. These are the things that we had to correct. And this is how we're going to move forward in the second half. One thing about Nick Saban, he's been brilliant at second half adjustments, especially against a team like Georgia in big games like tomorrow. So, like I said, I want to be on record. I've already sent out a tweet that I think he is going to coach. But if he's not, the players, they're not used to having someone else's voice, especially if things are tight during the game, to be that voice of reassurance and confidence moving forward.
No, I saw that tweet earlier, Dez. I was ready to get all fired up on that. I love that you did it.
He's right. He's right. I hope that Nick plays. I hope Nick coaches. I hope he's on the sidelines. But if he's not and Alabama still comes out with a win, I think to me that just further accentuates to me how great a program he's put in place, a culture he's put in place, and what a great team they are this year.
Yeah, by the way, I don't know that anybody's under more pressure than the testing facility in Mobile, Alabama. Let's just be real, getting those results back fast. All right, guys, let's take a look at the actual game itself and some of the keys to the game. So, Coach, we'll start with the Goodyear more driven player to keep an eye on this week. It's Alabama quarterback Mac Jones. I know you've seen a lot from him. What's the key here for you, Coach?
I think he has to maintain the poise that he's shown all year. He has to be the great decision maker that he's been all year. And he's going to be under great pressure tomorrow. There's going to be tight windows to throw into. There's going to be pressure in his face. And so far this year, he's been outstanding. 80% completions. He's thrown 8 touchdowns, 1 interception, only 2 sacks. He's got to continue to do those things against a great Georgia defense. And then if you look at their defense, they were decimated. I mean, they were obliterated last week by Ole Miss. They've got to settle down. They got to lock in. They were out-schemed. They were out-played. They didn't hustle. They didn't tackle like a typical Alabama defense was. They've got to do better there. So they've got to be assignment perfect, stop the run, affect the quarterback, tackle. And then they got to get the ball back to that great Alabama offense. And it's going to be a challenge against a Stetson Bennett who's playing at a high level.
God, I can't wait for this game. Dez, what are your keys on this one?
Well, I tell you what, Coach just talked about Mac Jones, and the reason why Mac Jones is allowed to go out there on the field and spray the football all over the field like his arm is a banana clip and he's letting Chiquita speak is because he has great wide receivers. I mean, you talk about Devontae Smith. I mean, this guy can blow the lid off of defense. Don't forget, he jumped on the scene a few years ago in a national championship game when he caught the game-winning touchdown against Georgia from Tua. So he hasn't let us down since. And then you have Jalen Waddle. I mean, he's my preseason Heisman favorite right now. He's Mr. Do Everything. He can do it all. He's a shake-and-bake receiver. He's fast. He can get vertical, too. And then you got a young guy named John Metchie III, who's also a threat. But Georgia's secondary. I tell you what, guys. We were at the Georgia-Auburn game, and I was really surprised at how Georgia's secondary stood up to the challenge against Bo Nix and against that receiving corps. They got Seth Williams and Schwartz. They really held their own. So I was really surprised and pleasantly surprised by the way they held up. But this is going to be a bigger test for Georgia's secondary.
I'm still a little stunned, guys, that we've reached the point where Alabama is like wide receiver university, right? Like, we're talking about all these hot prospects constantly. It shows you how much things have changed for Bama and the way this offense runs. But I can't wait for every ounce of the matchup. Obviously, quarterbacks get a bunch of the conversation. But this matchup gives us some unheralded quarterback prospects. Remember, Mac Jones was outside the ESPN 300, just the 17th rated pocket passer in the class of 2017. Stetson Bennett, still the best quarterback name of all time, didn't even show up in ESPN's recruiting rankings out of high school. Now they're two of the top three FBS quarterbacks in QBR. I'd say they're having a heck of a year. Of course, everybody is offensively, which we'll get into later in the show. All right, it's Friday, and that means we can start getting pumped up for all the action coming up tomorrow the way only we can do. It's time for the Saturday Spotlight. We'll do it next on College Football Live.
I absolutely want to see 90,000 in the swamp last year. I don't think the section behind our bench, I didn't see an empty seat. It was packed.
We've reached a point where we don't think it's appropriate that we try to play the game this weekend.
You know, 2020 is what we're dealing with. If it's safe for us to play, we're going to play it. The best thing is for us not to play, we shouldn't play.
I was informed early this afternoon that I had a top positive test for COVID-19.
I don't know what you could want in a quarterback that he doesn't possess.
You know, we didn't tackle very well in the last game.
So there's experience. I like our scheme. We have speed. We have talent. We just have to put it all together.
I've always thought I was better than a lot of people thought I was. But I'm just going to keep my head down and keep working and try to prove them wrong and prove everybody wrong.
It's a tremendous opportunity to see where we're at as a team, facing the top team in the country.
They're going to bring their A game. We're going to bring ours, and may the best man win.
COVID continues to impact the college football slate. Six games postponed this weekend, including three games that involve top 10 teams. Number 10, Florida. Number 8, Cincinnati. Number 7, Oklahoma State. All getting unexpected weekends off, so we'll keep you updated on that. But there are plenty of action is happening, so let's have a little bit of fun, as we like to do, and run through the Saturday Spotlight. It starts with Pitt taking on Miami. Big ACC matchup. Panthers started 3-0. They've lost two straight. Miami was the darling for everybody this season. Got thumped by Clemson. Coach, what are you hot on this one?
The key here is Miami's got to get back to running the ball with authority and getting Cameron Harris going again. Derek King was the leading rusher last week, and he's your quarterback, and you don't want that. He had 84 yards against Clemson. Get Harris going again against a really good Pitt defense that will be geared up to stop the run. And to me, if they can do that, then they're going to have success. If they can't, it's going to be tough sledding.
Well, let's stick in the ACC with the next big matchup that we got. Boston College managed to make every game interesting so far this season. Now they take on an up-and-down Hokies team that features a great running back in Khalil Herbert. Dez, what you got your eye on here?
Yeah, well, you hit it. I want to see Khalil Herbert. How about Hendon Hooker? They got him back, the quarterback, last week. He had to share time with Braxton Burmeister. I think that Hooker will get the nod and play the full game. But when you got guys like 21 Khalil Herbert averaging 10 yards per carry, 150 yards a game, leading the ACC, hopefully that will help them against BC. Plus, they got Raheem Blackshear, too, another transfer running back.
Let's get over to the SEC. The scoreboard operator in Starkville better get some beauty rest. A&M and Mississippi State going to give us video game numbers. Coach, what's hitting you in this one?
Our Texas A&M defense will be revved up and ready to go against Mississippi State, who's only scored two touchdowns in the last 2 weeks, so they're not really playing very well. I think that Texas A&M will capitalize on the momentum that they gained last week by beating Florida. Now, they held them to 402 yards and 38 points, and that sounds like outstanding numbers for an offense, but really that's good defense by Texas A&M. I think Texas A&M is really going to get after Mississippi State on defense.
And then UNC is the number 5 team in all the land. They're going after their first 4-0 start since 97, taking on a Florida State team facing their third top 15 team in the last 4 weeks. Dez, what are you looking for here?
Hey man, Mack Brown got these boys playing hard. And, you know, coming to the season, I thought Sam Howell would be the talk of the offense, but actually it's the running backs. You got Michael Carter averaging 10 yards per carry, 5 touchdowns on the season, and Javonte Williams averaging 6.3 yards per carry. So the running game has really helped them tremendously. And going up against Florida State might have fired their starting quarterback now, and a kid named Jordan Travis, who seemed to stabilize that offense.
Here's what else you need to know ahead of that game. Mack Brown, Florida State alum, has lost all 6 meetings against the Seminoles. His quarterback, Sam Howell, who originally committed to Florida State, will play his first game against the Seminoles. And the Tar Heels are up to the 5th rank in the AP poll, their highest ranking, as I mentioned, since 1997. So, Dez, I got to ask you, I mean, North Carolina, playoff caliber team?
Well, I believe that to be a playoff caliber team, they're in the ACC and they're going to have to go through Clemson. And as much as I like Mack Brown and what he's been able to do so far in Chapel Hill, been able to get that running game established and been able to just play good defense too, I'm not sure they're ready to take on that monster named Clemson, who we saw just pretty much dominate Miami a week ago. But I like what I see so far. They may be a year or two away from being a playoff team.
I agree with Dez 100%. I mean, this is a really good football team, but they've still got Clemson to face. And they run the ball with authority. Sam Howell is doing a great job. I love the scheme they came up with last week against Virginia Tech, who has a monster pass rush. And they came out those first couple drives, and they went at tempo to keep Virginia Tech on their heels. They ran the ball effectively. They got the ball out of Sam Howell's hands quickly, and they just matriculated down the field with ease. And then at the end of the game, they had 399 yards rushing. I mean, that is really an impressive number. I don't care what level you're playing at or who you're playing, that is something special.
Well, guys, hear me out a little bit, Dez. Let me at least push back. I understand Clemson's in the same conference, and that's difficult. I have a hard time looking right now to figure out who the 5th best team in the country is. I mean, you start talking about it. I know we haven't seen the Big Ten, Dez, but it feels like there's a lot of teams out there that could step into it. Why not North Carolina in that case?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it that way, then why not? But like you said, the Big Ten hasn't played yet, so we still need to watch them. They start a week from today. Obviously, there's a lot of eyes on Ohio State, but you still need to look at Penn State. You look at Michigan. Maybe look at Wisconsin, too, coming out of the Big Ten. So there's a lot of football left to be played. I'm just not sure that I can look at Carolina right now and say they're a playoff contender. But, yeah, maybe the number 5 team. I'll give them that. Why not?
Coach, any thoughts on this?
Well, he's right. And the Pac-12 hasn't started playing. I think that USC and Oregon are teams that will, you know, show up somewhere at some point in time, you know, in the rankings. But I tell you what, I think that Mack Brown has done an amazing job in a very short time of getting that program headed in the right direction. And I look for big things from them, especially with that young quarterback, Sam Howell, and the ways he's week to week just learning and growing and expanding his knowledge of their scheme and what defenses are trying to do and the decisions he's making. I love the way he played last week versus Virginia Tech.
I'm sure the Big Ten will confuse all of this. I'm just saying right now, do the exercise. Look at the top 5. It's difficult to find number 5. It's not difficult to know what to do tomorrow morning. You should check out Game Day. We all know that. Coming up tomorrow, Kirby Smart, Nick Saban, live interviews on Game Day. You don't want to miss that. Plus, as we mentioned, we're only 1 week away from the Big Ten. Jen Latta will take a look at that. And we've talked a lot already about North Carolina quarterback Sam Howell. Well, Maria Taylor sits down with him in an episode of Game Day you do not want to miss. That's coming up tomorrow morning.
This Heisman Update is brought to you by Nissan, premier partner of the Heisman Trophy.
Let's take a look at the Heisman update brought to you by Nissan. According to DraftKings Sportsbook, Clemson's Trevor Lawrence is the favorite to win the Heisman Trophy, followed by Ohio State's Justin Fields and then Alabama's Mac Jones. Fields and Ohio State will take the field for the first time next Saturday as the Big Ten returns to play. Now, we got some football last night that was electric. Arkansas State taking on Georgia State. Third quarter, Arkansas State down 35-28. Logan Booner finds Brandon Bowling. Takes it 16 yards. Look at that little nifty move. Arkansas State ties the game at 35 with that touchdown. Next Arkansas State possession, Lane Hatcher finds Lincoln Pear here. Drops back, touchdown. Arkansas takes a 7-point lead.
Good work there. And then fourth quarter, Georgia State down three. Cornelius Brown hits Sam Pinckney for the 31-yard touchdown. Georgia State takes the lead. See the theme here, back and forth. 4.5 minutes left in the game, tied at 52. Arkansas State runs a reverse pass. Rashad Paul throws it to Pear for the touchdown. Look at that. Arkansas State takes the lead. They'd hang on to win 59-52. Look at this. Most points per game in a season. We're talking all the way back to 1936. Right now we are on pace in college football to set a record, and it leads to a very important question. Coach, is defense going to get fixed this year?
It's crazy. You know, all these schemes that offensive coordinators are putting in place because of the versatility of these quarterbacks, these RPO schemes or the zone read with the RPO involved in it, puts so much pressure on a defense. And these versatile, smart quarterbacks, to me, are the ones making the difference. Early in the show, we put up a graphic of the top quarterbacks that were, you know, on pace to do some record things. Well, that's happening all over the country. It's tough to be a defensive coordinator these days in college football.
Yeah, Coach, and not only the schemes, but now the, I guess the ingenuity of the plays where they're running them off so fast, like they're trying to get 100 plays a game, so they're keeping defenses off balance. You give them a lot of eye candy with shifts and motions, and then before that, the ball is snapped before they know it, and they got to try to play defense and react. So the schemes and the ingenuity of the offenses, I think, are starting to really take over. Now, last night, I was watching that game. I'm an offensive guy. I even got bored with all that scoring, guys.
No, I'll take all the scoring all day. 16 teams right now in college football averaging 40 points. It's video game football out there. Finally, SEC fans exactly. Can't just complain to the Big 12 about the lack of defense. I'm just saying it. Thanks for hanging out with us. Enjoy the weekend. For Coach, for Dez, I'm Jason Fitz. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Enjoy it.